Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN and get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use the code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. You are listening to an international edition of the EPL show here on the Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You can follow the Soccer Gambling Podcast on X at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. You can follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network at the SGP Network. That's at the SGP Network and also at Gambling Podcast. That's at Gambling Podcast. And finally, also be sure to follow my other X account. That one is at LockBettingX. That's at LockBettingX. On that account, I post my sports betting opinions. I post free plays, free play winners. And most significantly, I post my profit and loss spreadsheets. That differentiates me from other cappers who don't post their spreadsheets, don't have spreadsheets, aren't tracked and transparent. My tracked and transparent spreadsheets accumulate to 129 months in a row of transparent and tracked profit, which means I've been undefeated in sports betting every single month for over a decade, plus 9 additional months as we look for month number 130 here in the month of March 2024. The pin tweet on that account is always the latest P&L spreadsheet. So at the moment, you can see the month of February. There was a delay getting that up. There was a problem when getting that verified via the adjudicator because I wanted to put in a play that I missed in January. The San Francisco 49ers to win the NFC, which was posted in December, was missed out on the January P&L. So I needed to check if I needed to add that to the January P&L and repost that, or whether I could do the more simpler thing and add it to the February P&L. Because it didn't make a significant difference because January was profitable regardless. That was a monster month capped off with our NFL futures added to it. And February was also a huge month with a huge UFC card for UFC 298, along with the Super Bowl card, which went 13-5. It didn't matter. And San Francisco to win the NFC has been added to the February P&L, which you can now see as the pin tweet. As I said, the pin tweet is always the latest spreadsheet, but all the other spreadsheets are available to look down by scrolling down the X account, or more conveniently by going over to lockbetting.com, where you can also sign up for the service. When you look for my spreadsheets, you'll see that we sensibly manage a bankroll. We don't chase losing plays with bigger plays. We make betting accessible for anybody with a disposable income. If you don't have a disposable income, you shouldn't gamble. But if you want to win money with sensible staking and make gambling more fun and winning is more fun, then check out Lock Betting. If you have any questions about the service, my DMs are open at Lock Betting X. That's at Lock Betting X. So let's move on with this international edition of the EPL show. Now, as you heard, we used the Euro 2024 music at the top of the show. That's because we primarily want to focus on Euro 2024. Now, after we know who occupies the final three places, we will do the long-awaited Euro 2024 draw reaction, the futures show. But it wasn't worth doing until we knew who the teams were that were going to occupy those final places. We didn't initially know that after the draw, but we will know after Tuesday's games. So very, very quickly, we are going to jump on and do that Euro 2024 draw reaction and future show, looking at all of the groups and looking at the outright winner as well. But before we do that, let's look at the three final qualifying matches. And then we'll look at a couple of friendlies. We're going to minimise what we look at with the friendlies because despite the fact big games are organised, that hasn't led to a huge effort from the players. I thought that the managers and the players would really want to make a big effort, see how they gel together, see how the first 11s play together, see how they test themselves against other top tier opposition with big games organised, with France taking on Germany, Brazil coming to England. That game was obviously far more important to Brazil. Not only were they looking for a new manager bounce, but were looking desperately not to lose four games in a row. And a Brazil team missing six or seven starters managed to come and win at Wembley Stadium. Now, that's the first time England have been beaten in Wembley in over 2 years, but it's still very concerning how England just cannot play against the big teams. I'm concerned about these championships. I've always been concerned about Southgate. I'm even more concerned as a Man United supporter that he's linked to the Man United job. He is the wrong man for the England job. He's the wrong man for any top job in football. And I'm telling you now, England under Southgate will not win the Euros and they will not win any major trophy. And that was proven again as a very, very lackluster Brazil team came to Wembley and won and probably should have won by more. As for France losing to Germany, I don't know what to make of that. Maybe it was France laying an egg, although they did pick the strongest possible team for that game. Or perhaps it was down to the fact that Germany are improving, or Germany gained confidence from going ahead after just 7 seconds through Wirtz's incredible volley. And one thing I'll say about that Germany goal, that weren't a fluke. That wasn't a case of France making a mistake or Germany getting lucky. That was a planned centre kick. It seems like Julian Nagelsmann approached that centre kick, approached the start of the game as an individual set piece. And maybe that's something that is going to creep into football. Maybe that's the evolution of football. Maybe that's the evolution of the kickoff. And sometimes maybe a manager like Nagelsmann is what's needed to see new changes in the game. We always see small changes in the game, but we've never seen anybody really attack the centre kick as a strategic point. And that's what we saw. We saw that as an actual strategy. We saw a prepared centre kick. At least in my opinion, that was a prepared set piece almost from the Germans, and it led to them taking the lead in France in 7 seconds. And perhaps I'm giving Nagelsmann too much credit, perhaps I'm giving the Germans too much credit, perhaps that just was a very, very poor, lackluster French performance. But if it wasn't, then suddenly Germany at the perfect time are going to emerge as contenders, the host nation. It's weird to refer to Germany as a host nation as dark horses, because Germany have been such a big superpower in European football, but that's exactly what they are. They're going to be dark horses in their own tournament that they're hosting, and it could be the perfect time. We'll see if they can build on what they did against the French, as they will be hosting Holland in what will be a big test, and that's a rivalry game as well. Tomorrow night. So, as I said, before we move on to that game, we're going to look at England versus Belgium. We're going to look at Germany versus Holland, two very, very significant friendly games. But I want to get the Euro 2024 stuff out of the way first. We'll begin with the game here between Georgia and Greece, where Georgia are a home dog here. It's 5-2 on Georgia. It's 21-10 on the draw. and it's 5-4 on Greece. The qualification odds here see Greece as a 3-5 favourite, with 13-10 plus 130 being offered on Georgia to qualify. Now, Greece are the better team. They have more European pedigree, but Georgia are a definite dark horse here, especially because Georgia is such a difficult place to go to. Georgia coming to this one having won 8 of the last 12 home games, and I think they are a live dog here against a Greek side who've definitely benefited from a favourable draw so far to make it to this stage. The hosts, they're not only dangerous at home as far as results go, they are knocking the ball into the back of the net for fun, having scored 16 goals across their last 4 at home, and they could easily contribute another couple of goals here in this one, meaning Greece would need to score 3 goals to get this done in the 90-minute period. I'm more than happy to fade Greece here to win this in 90 minutes. As I said, Georgia have won 8 of their last 12 at home. I'm going to take them to avoid a defeat here in the 90-minute period against the Greeks at the price of 4-6 minus 150. I think they're a dark horse in this game. I think they can compete. I think this is a very difficult assignment for Greece, far more difficult than the 3-5 qualification price would suggest, or the money line price as well. I'm going to take Georgia plus half a goal here in the double chance market at 4-6 minus 150. As my first selection from these Euro 2024 qualifying games. Before we move on to looking at the other two games, I want to take this quick pause to let you guys know about the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Now, we're often reading out ads here on the show, but let me take this opportunity to plug ourselves. You're listening to the Soccer Gambling Podcast here, of course, on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. But the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is the home to 20 plus gambling podcasts, and every single one is completely free. So this podcast is coming up to, well, me being on the podcast, I originally started on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm coming up to 10 years and 8 years of the Soccer Gambling Podcast, and it has been a cash cow for you guys, and the other podcasts are making you plenty of money as well. So in honor of March Madness, this week's featured show is the Sports Gambling Podcast, the flagship SGPN show hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Stacking the Money Green, where the guys have picked every tournament game against the spread since 2012. And of course, the College Basketball Experience, Colby Dan, aka Pick Dundee, Ryan Moneyline Mac, and producer Noah B continued their unmatched coverage of college basketball betting. So subscribe today to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience wherever you get your podcast, to make sure that you get involved and make some money on March Madness this month. Let's get back to Euro 2024, the Euro 2024 qualifiers. We have Georgia versus Greece out of the way. We now move on to Ukraine versus Iceland, where Ukraine are at 1-2 minus 200 on the money line. It's 16-5 on the draw, and Iceland are the 11-2 underdogs. The qualification odds are Ukraine at 1-4 and Iceland at 3-1. I think Ukraine will get through, but I do think these odds are a little bit short, given that the game isn't actually being played in Ukraine for obvious reasons. I still believe Ukraine will come through, but I do believe that Iceland may be able to contribute a goal here en route to being knocked out. Iceland have scored in 6 of their last 7 away games, but ultimately Iceland are a team that I'm looking to fade. They had 6 defeats in their 10 group games, while Ukraine looked good for a 4th win in 5. Iceland, I think the best that they can do here is possibly contribute towards the scoring, with Ukraine and BTTS available at a huge price of 7-2 plus 150. That's the only real way that I can extract any real value from this game. I think Ukraine would usually be a selection that you could parlay, but there really isn't too much to parlay them with on this game week, unless you want to parlay them together with a friendly selection. But I'm very, very much off the friendly games for this international window. I really wasn't happy with the lackluster efforts that we saw. It was not a financially successful weekend for us in soccer, largely due to us overbetting some of these friendlies, and I would avoid it. So, as I said, whilst Ukraine would usually be a solid parlay piece at 1-2 on the money line, you'd be looking to tack something along with that. I don't think I trust anything in those friendly markets to tag on with Ukraine as a safe play to bolster this 1-2 minus 200 money line selection. Up next, we move on to our final Euro qualifier. It's Wales versus Poland, where the Welsh are the 6-4 favourites on the money line. It's 21-10 on the draw, and it's 2-1 here on Poland. The qualification odds see Wales as an 8-11 favourite, with Poland as an 11-10 underdog. I think these results would be completely flipped if the game was being played in Poland, but here I think Wales are the rightful favourites. Now, Poland have a very, very good record against Wales, but I would argue that this Wales team are better without Gareth Bale now, or at least the version of Gareth Bale that played in 2022. I also think they're better without Aaron Ramsey. They're not relying on those players, and what they have is a lot of skill players coming out of the lower teams in the English League and the Championship, and it's just a more solid Wales team all round. But is it good enough to beat Poland, who you'd argue have more top players in their ranks? Well, I would say if this game was played in Poland, I would say no. But when you look at the game that Wales played last time out against Finland, it seemed like Finland were beaten immediately as soon as the national anthem finished. It seemed like the singing of that national anthem gave Wales that 12th man, and they're going to have the 12th man again. And Poland somehow need to be able to neutralise that. The good thing for Poland is that they are a better team than Finland. And if they can score the first goal in this game, things can suddenly take a turn for the worse. The head-to-head record, as I mentioned, favours the Polish. They won home and away when these two teams met back in 2022. Wales were beaten at home by Armenia in qualifying, whilst the Poles, they are coming off blowing away Estonia on Thursday and have a string of match winners who could be important in edging this contest towards the Poles. So I'm going to lean Poland here, but only to qualify. I'm not going to bet against Wales in the 90-minute period. I think this could be a long and drawn-out affair. I think this could be an emotional one. I think this is more close to a 50-50 than the odds suggest, even though it's being played in Wales. And therefore, I do think there is some underdog value on the better team, with the likes of Robert Lewandowski and other match winners in their ranks. This could come down to a half chance at some point, or a moment of magic. And I would rather trust the players in the Poland squad rather than the hard-working journeymen who make up the Welsh side. So I'm going to lean Poland. It's not a strong lean. I just feel this is a 50-50. And therefore, there is a little bit of value on the underdog, on the Poles, who also have this strong head-to-head record against Wales at the price of 11-10 plus 110 here for this one. Before we move on to looking at a couple of those friendlies, let me take this quick pause to tell you guys here about Cut. Cut, in case you didn't know, is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based, and it's available in 40 states. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's Cut with a K, K-U-T-T, and use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. Let me also take this pause here to tell you guys about Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is the easiest place to play fantasy sports, and it's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Sign up today with the promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with the promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org. Moving on to those friendly games, the friendly internationals that I have picked out. Approach these games with an air of caution, because last time these games were not our friend. Now, I do have an inkling that due to the heavy criticism, the likes of France, England, Spain, all teams who looked very, very lackluster, faced off their results, I do believe that we may see a forced effort almost from them here. But I'm not confident enough about that to take them as any kind of lock or anything at the end of the show. For me, this is just a case of me doing my job, covering these games because people are interested in them and giving away some sort of lean on these significant friendlies, these friendlies between two big teams, which will garner interest despite the fact that the players may not be interested in actually playing in them. So we begin with England versus Belgium at Wembley Stadium, where England are the 4-5 minus 125 favourites. It's 11-4 on the draw, and it's 18-5 on Belgium. I'm going to this game tomorrow. I went to the game against Brazil, took my kid to it. I was really excited about seeing the Brazil team, and we're expecting a end-to-end shootout in a friendly game. It's usually not full of physicality. Instead, it's usually a free-flowing attacking game, and that's what we thought we'd see. We thought we'd see an exhibition there. Thought we'd see an exhibition in Spain versus Colombia. Both games finished 1-0. Both games were very, very boring, and the Brazil-England game was surprisingly physical, especially from the Brazilian end, with Lucas Paquetá getting away with 5 yellow card fouls before he actually did receive a yellow card, which was crazy. In this game, it's very difficult to actually make a selection. I cannot see England losing back-to-back games, so I think they will be forced to pick a strong team here and put out a performance. Whilst at the same time, I don't see them beating this Belgium team. Belgium were very, very lucky to escape with a draw against Ireland via an Ireland missed penalty, and I see Belgium putting on a bigger effort here as well. Not to mention the fact that Belgium coming to this one unbeaten in 11 matches under Domenico Tedesco, who I just saw earlier on in our hotel. So I can't really take England to win this with any confidence, given that Belgium are unbeaten in their last 11. Whilst at the same time, I don't think that Belgium are going to come to England and hand us back-to-back defeats. So I've actually landed on a draw here. It's not something that I play very often. I've actually had some success playing draws. Therefore, I am going to take another one here. Shop around and see if you can find the 3-1 plus 300. It's just simply down to the reasoning that I just can't really see who wins this. England look very, very poor. They're going to try and improve. But Belgium haven't lost in the last 11. At the same time, I don't see England losing the game either, because before that game against Brazil, they hadn't lost for a couple of years. So I just see this sort of petering out into a draw. England were poor against the defeated Brazil side on Saturday, and previously they could only draw against North Macedonia in the last international break. They're a very different team, seemingly without the likes of Saka, Kane and Foden, and they'll be without all of those on Tuesday and facing a Belgium team who are unbeaten in their last 11 matches. It's also worth noting that England have only scored 3 goals in the last 3 matches, and 4 of England's last 5 matches have featured under 2.5 goals. So as we're looking at this being a draw, that puts the 0-0 into play. And when you're looking at Belgium and England and you're looking at that attacking talent, the 0-0 doesn't really appeal. So it does take me towards the 1-1 draw as a scoreline I may sprinkle on, which is available at 7-1 plus 700. A lot of attacking players are actually missing here for these two sides. It's not just Saka, Foden and Kane for England. It's also Kevin De Bruyne and Romelu Lukaku, who are all likely to miss this contest. So I think this will be lower scoring than people think. So I think 2-2 and 3-3 are out as you draw scorelines. And for me, it seems to point towards the 1-1, which is offering up a lot of value for me at the price of 7-1 plus 700. Up next, we move on to the game we talked about earlier, where Germany are at home to the Netherlands. They are the even money plus 100 favourites to win it. It's 11-4 on the draw, and it's 5-2 here on the Netherlands. For that game against France to really mean anything and for people to take it as a genuine turning point, Germany need to build on that here and beat their rivals, the Dutch, Holland, in this game. Now, they're more than capable of doing that. They have the personnel on the pitch, but through Flick and through Nagelsmann, they weren't seeming to find the blend. They weren't seeming to find a way to get these players to play together. Now, with the championship around the corner, suddenly Germany have had their most significant win in years, beating the World Cup runners-up France. And they did it relatively convincingly as well. That wasn't a fluke result. Once Germany got ahead, France didn't really put them under too much pressure. They didn't carve out too many clear-cut chances. Germany seemed to be in control of the game. And it's fair to say that second goal wasn't really against the runner player. It wasn't completely out of the blue. Germany came to France and did a professional job. Yes, they were aided by a goal after 7 seconds. But as I alluded to at the top of the show, that was a planned set piece. It's the type of thing that newer managers in the game, like Julian Nagelsmann, will come up with. That's why they have those jobs. That's why Julian Nagelsmann has that kind of caliber job, and why he's had the jobs he's had at his young age, because he is a revolutionary manager that does come up with new ways and new styles. And that's what I believe he did there. I don't believe that we should undermine what the Germans do, but in order for it to count, in order for me to be right, they need to win this game against their Dutch rivals. This for me is a game that almost guarantees goals. Now, I know he said that about a few of the friendlies that were played in the first games of the window, but here we have very, very strong data to support a high scoring game. Germany have scored two more goals, have scored two or more goals in five of the last six internationals, and are facing a Dutch side that are full of goals, as Tuesday's visitors have netted 10 across their last two games and have only failed to score once. I've only failed to score once in 31 matches. So in 30 of the last 31 games, the Dutch have made a contribution towards the scoring. So that is very, very strong data for an over. Over 2.5 goals actually offers up some value here at 4-6 minus 150. That may seem like a little bit of a cop-out, but we want to take plays that actually win during this international break, because it is a tough one. Obviously, players are looking ahead at returning and carrying on with their domestic seasons. They're chasing titles, they're chasing cups. They're looking at the Champions League very, very soon when they get back. So they don't want to get injured. But at the same time, I think this is strong data for goals. We're going to take over 2.5 goals as our main play. If you want me to pick a winner for this game, I think the Germans will win it. I think they're desperate to win it. I think they're going to play this game all out, because they want to build that momentum going towards a home World Cup. And now, suddenly, out of the blue, they have it. They're in the conversation after beating France, and they want to continue that on here by beating their rivals Holland. And if they do it, they can beat France and they can beat Holland in this window. Suddenly, all the German supporters will be massively behind him, which is obviously a very, very big positive for them going into that tournament, because there wasn't much positivity at all before the win against France. The final game we are going to look at here is between Spain and Brazil, where Spain are the 23-20 favourites. It's 12-5 on the draw, and it's 21-10 here on the Brazilians. Brazil, they will want to build on what they did as well, which was they got a very, very good result away to England. They got themselves a new manager bounce, and I do believe they'd be capable of avoiding a defeat here at the Bernabeu in Spain. For me, both teams to score, though, is the standout selection, which is available at 4-5 minus 125. Can't make a case here for either of these two teams keeping a clean sheet. Spain may have lost to Colombia last time out, but they did field a somewhat experimental lineup. Prior to that, they were unbeaten in eight before that 1-0 loss, and I think a stronger Spain team will be able to contribute towards scoring against the Brazil team, who did bounce back against England, but did lose three straight before that game. Brazil, they are unlikely to keep another clean sheet here, despite the fact they kept one against England. That was only one of two clean sheets across their last 13 matches. So I think there's strong data here for Spain to contribute towards the scoring. But Spain, I don't think, will keep a clean sheet either, as Brazil have a ton of attacking talent on show, and Spain haven't kept a clean sheet in any of their last three games. So I'm going to take BTTS here at the price of 4-5 minus 125 as my main lean here for this game. Before we close out with a lock here on the show, let me take this quick pause to tell you guys about Hall of Fame Bets, where you can stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hfbets.com and use the code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching and start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Closing out with your lock on this show. So I wanted to avoid taking any kind of team to win any of their friendlies because I just can't trust anybody to win. I can't put my money on one team or another and say they're going to be more motivated, they've got this reason to turn up, they're going to get some kind of bounce, they've got some sort of rivalry with this team. And that includes Germany. Germany should be the most motivated team out of everybody. They have no qualifying campaign. They can only judge where they're at by friendlies. And this is a huge rivalry game against the Dutch, where they're looking to build on a incredible result against France. Winning this game gives the Germans hope. It turns everything around. It gets their supporters 100% behind them. Obviously, they opened everybody's eyes with what they did against the French, but winning this game is a real game changer. It makes people really believe. But even in that situation, I cannot take the Germans to win. But what I can take in this game is the goals. Now, over 2.5 goals, I believe, given the data, should be shorter than 4-6 minus 150, which is the widely available price. You can find the best price of 7-10. So we are going to make that the selection. Friendly or no friendly, the facts are that Germany have scored 2 or more goals in 5 of their last 6 internationals, and they've all been friendlies because that's all the Germans play at the moment. And they're facing a Dutch team who we know are full of goals. They're coming off scoring 4 against Scotland last time out. This is a rivalry game, so I don't see them really resting too many players. This is a Dutch team who have netted 10 across their last 2, including those 4 against Scotland. And as I mentioned, they've only failed to score once in 31 matches. So we're going to take over 2.5 goals as our lock here, and we're going to take it at the price of 7-10 in the game between Germany and Holland. That's it for me. Good luck with all of your bets as always, and thanks for listening.